I too want to say good morning to all of you that are here. Welcome to Wilmsdorf this morning. I hope that, and you being here, that you can experience the love of God that we've been singing about and that the devotional is about, because it is real. Trulin said that life is worth living because of Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross for us. That's the reason that life is worth living. And are you thankful for that this morning? Are you grateful for that? In what way in your living your lives are you showing your gratefulness, your thankfulness for that? Something to think about, truly being thankful. A large dog walks into a butcher shop carrying a purse in his mouth. He puts the purse down and sits in front of the meat case. "What is it, boy?" the butcher jokingly asks. "Want to buy some meat?" "Woof," barks the dog. "Hmm," says the butcher. "What kind? Liver, bacon, steak?" "Woof," interrupts the dog. "And how much steak? Half a pound? 1 pound?" "Woof." The amazed butcher wraps up the meat and finds the money in the dog's purse. As the dog leaves, he decides to follow. The butcher decides to follow. The dog enters an apartment house, climbs to the third floor, and begins scratching at a door. With that, the door swings open, and an angry man starts shouting at the dog, "Stop!" "Stop!" yells the butcher. "He's the most intelligent animal I've ever seen." "Intelligent," says the man. "This is the third time this week he's forgotten his key." So an example of a man that was not thankful. He wasn't very thankful. And in contrast to that story, I'm going to read another story of someone that who was thankful. Story of Pam, who worked in downtown Chicago. Every morning she encountered a heavy-set, middle-aged woman in a shabby coat soliciting spare change in front of an old brick church. She greeted everyone with a smile and a pleasant good morning. Pam almost always gave her something. After almost a year of this routine, however, the woman in a shabby coat disappeared. Pam wondered what had happened to her. Then one beautiful day, she was in front of the church again, still wearing the same shabby coat. As Pam reached into her purse for the usual donation, the woman stopped her. "Thank you for helping me all those days," she said. You won't see me again because I've got a job." With that, she reached into a bag and handed Pam a wrapped package. She had been standing at her old spot waiting, not for a handout, but for the people she recognized so that she could give each of them a donut. As probably all of you know, this week is Thanksgiving Day week. I think I got my week right. I hope so. And I believe that we have so much to be thankful for. We as Christians should be the most thankful people on earth. I think that you would all agree with me. We should be the most grateful people. And preparing for this message this morning, I was like to get my children involved, and I asked them, you know, being that this is Thanksgiving week, I'm going to be preaching on Thanksgiving, and ask them, what's the story in the New Testament that you guys can think of that reminds you of Thanksgiving, where it talks about Thanksgiving? What is the talks about Thanksgiving in the New Testament? And so I'm going to open up. They couldn't figure it out, so I'm going to open up to any of the other children. What story in the New Testament brings to your mind the story of Thanksgiving? day. Yes, that's right. That's correct. You didn't see my notes, did you? All right, this week, as I was thinking about it and things that we should be thankful for, I think it started to overwhelm me of all the things that we have. Have you ever thought about everything that you have and the things that you take for granted every day? Just think about the things that are available to us in our own homes. And I'm not... The things that we should be most grateful for are spiritual things, but putting that aside for now, is are we even grateful for the things that we have personally? Or do we take them for granted? The first thing that came to my mind that we shouldn't take for granted is something that we absolutely need, and that's food. we as Christians take time to give thanks before every meal for our food, and that's good. We should be thankful for our food. But are there any times where you're sitting in a restaurant that you feel embarrassed at thanking Jesus for your food? Or maybe times that we forget, we're in a hurry and we just quick eat and run out. Are there times that we forget to be thankful for our food that we eat? Imagine next week you go into the grocery store and the shelves are empty. They're completely empty. All the food that you have are on the shelves in your house. How would that change your perspective of being thankful for food? Imagine that food has become so scarce that we just can't go to the store and just get some whenever we want it. Sometimes before big snowstorms, we experience very little of that, where the bread shelves are empty, but I don't think it worries us too much. But I think sometimes we take it for granted that the food that we eat, we just take it for granted that it's always going to be there. And like I said, just imagining that the grocery shelves are empty may seem like a hypothetical situation to you. But I believe that this situation is real in parts of our world today. There are people that experience that. Instead of people thanking God for food, they're begging God to provide food for them. And also, talking about food, how many of us complain about the weather, about the rain that we get? How many of us complain we got a lot of rain this year, and how many of us have complained about it? But I always have to realize that that rain is what makes food come. We can't complain about the rain, because if the rain dries up, we're not going to have access to food that we eat. And so we need rain. So the next time it rains when you're scheduling a picnic or scheduling something outside and it rains, praise the Lord for the rain, because He's the one that provides the food for your picnics. Thank God for the rain. Thank God for food. I believe that true thankfulness will spur us to action. It won't just be, you know, thank you, just a simple thank you. But I believe that true thankfulness will spur us to action. It'll make us do things to show our gratefulness. So what does that true thankfulness look like? What kind of action will thankfulness bring when we're talking about food? What are some actions that will produce in us that showing that we're grateful for food? I believe that the first thing showing that we're grateful for food is, first of all, praying for our meals, thanking God for blessing us with food. I believe another thing that we can do to show our thankfulness for food is to provide food for someone that doesn't have food, maybe through a sponsorship or someone in a country that doesn't have food. I think that's a way to show our thankfulness for food. Another one is, I believe, sharing our food with others. Another one would be eliminating as much food waste as possible. We here in America take for granted all the food we have, and we waste so much food when there's people in other parts of the country that are starving. I was just impressed that hearing of different people that go into restaurants when they're about to close, and then they hand out free French fries or whatever so they don't have to throw it away. That's a good example. That's something that's worthwhile doing. And another one would be not overeating. I enjoy to eat, and I am guilty of overeating. But that's another thing. Another thing that we can show of being thankful for food is not overeating, not taking it for granted. That's just food. And things that we can do to be thankful, to show our thankfulness for food. But there are so many other things that we can be thankful for in our homes. I'm extremely thankful for our electric. How many of you have been without electric for 1 hour? That's terrible, isn't it? For those that don't have a generator. I know when we lose electric, we quick jump in the van and go somewhere where there is electric. Run to our parents or wherever. I'm thankful for electric. How about clothes? Warm houses, warm showers. How many of you want to take a cold shower, especially in the wintertime? A soft bed, just a mattress. There's people in the world that lay on concrete or on the ground, but these are things that we need to be thankful for. Being able to flush a toilet instead of a smelly outhouses, going outside or just being able to flush a toilet is something that we... I believe that I take for granted. But I believe that until we lose something that we enjoy now, until we lose it, we can be guilty of not being thankful people for the convenience we enjoy every day. Until we lose it, we don't understand how much we're thankful for it. And like I said, just as important, or even more important, is being thankful for our families, our church families, and our good Christian friends. Most of all, I believe we need to be grateful for Jesus. Just like Truon said, he's the reason why it's worth living. Life is worth living because of Jesus. And the title of the message this morning, I've entitled, True Thankfulness Leads to Action. True Thankfulness Leads to Action. Just like in the opening story, in the second story, the lady, she was thankful. And she could have just, never showed up again and just thanked him for the change that people had given her. But she came back. And she gave a small something in return, just to show how grateful she was. So I'm going to be reading the story in Luke chapter 17, so you can turn your Bibles to Luke 17. Again, it's a very familiar passage, but I think there's some, if we slow down a little bit and read it slower, I think there's some really important things in here that we can take from this passage here this morning. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem." This is talking about Jesus. Jesus was coming back to Jerusalem. It was right before the time of Jesus' crucifixion. So Jesus knew that his end was near. that he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." The story, just reading it and thinking about, you know, Thanksgiving coming up this week, just brought this story to my memory. And so I read it, and it was very interesting to me. Again, it's very familiar, but it's just so interesting to me. You know, we hear this many times. We heard it over and over again. And there were just a few things that jumped out to me and some questions that entered my mind about these lepers. And the other thing, too, that really made me think was how Jesus had, I'm sure, had a heavy burden on him as he was entering into Jerusalem, knowing that his time is drawing in, he was going to be suffering. And all the crowds that were following him, just the noise and the everything that was going on. If you were anything like me, when you get bombarded with so many things and then somebody else is yelling at you and you're like, "Just let me alone. I don't want to talk to anybody." But Jesus didn't do that. He had time for people. And mostly, I think we know, as we read the Bible, he had time for the sick, the people that were suffering. But anyway, that these 10 lepers were yelling out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." These lepers, I don't know how much you know about the lepers, but in reading up on them and learning, you know, what leprosy was, I don't know if you just know. I just knew that it was a disease. I didn't know how bad it was. It was very, you could pass it on to other people. So they had to stay away from other people. But leprosy was a bad disease. It was probably the worst disease that you could ever get. And so who were these lepers? Who were they? They were 10 men who had the worst disease of their day. And as I read up on it, what all was involved in leprosy was the not just the physical ramifications, but also the attacks on the body, like the your fingers would start to fall off. You would start to lose body parts. Your legs would start vanishing. I mean, it was a bad disease. And usually, I mean, from what I read, from what I understood, it hung around for 30 years. If you lived through it, it hung around for 30 years. Beth Moore, in her book, Jesus, the One and Only, I don't know if any of you ever read it. I didn't read it myself, but it tells of an occasion she had to be near a modern-day leper colony. And something within her had always wanted to minister to a leper colony. And her trip that she went overseas and was given the opportunity to see these places where the lepers were. And she walked by the colony 3 times by the entrance, and she saw those who were suffering, and she really wanted a chance to talk to them, to witness to them, but she couldn't. She could not go in. And the reason why was because the smell just overwhelmed her. She couldn't work up the stomach to go inside the colony. She couldn't bear the thought of witnessing for the Lord, even though she really wanted to. She couldn't bring herself to do it because of the smell, the gross smell, and the scenes of what leprosy does to them. Another story that I read about, I don't think I have my notes, so I'll mention it now, but it was about this. This person was, I guess today they still have some leper colonies, places where lepers live. And so this evangelist went to this leper colony and was, I don't know, after the preaching, they asked for selections of songs. And they just went on to say that this lady, that she turned around and she had no nose. I don't think she had eyes. She was really bad looking. And he was asked for a request for songs. And the song that she requested was Count Your Many Blessings. And so a person like that, counting her blessings, it went on to say that the person that was, I guess, leading the singing could never sing that song again without that thought of the person that requested it. So I gained a new perspective of what these 10 lepers, what they had to deal with, the disease that they had. It was so gross. And even just the sight of them, you can't imagine seeing somebody that doesn't have their faces all damaged, they're missing limbs. And it didn't just stop there. And 2,000 years ago, back then, they didn't have a medical treatment. I don't know what the medical treatment they have now today to help with that, but back then they had no medical treatment for it. Once you got it, you were pretty much stuck with it. And throughout the Bible, there was nobody that was healed from leprosy apart from a miracle that Jesus healed them, or one of Jesus' disciples healed them. And so that was their only hope for these lepers. But this physical pain was not the only thing that they had to deal with. They also had to deal with the emotional pain, which was probably even worse than the physical pain. If you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were removed from your family, from the community. There could be no contact with your children, with your wife. There could be no contact. You had to be immediately removed. You wouldn't be able to hold your children. You wouldn't be able to. You wouldn't be able to kiss your wife goodbye. So not only did they have to deal with the physical ramifications, but they also had to deal with the emotional as well. Lepers, because of their disease, they tended to hang out together. They roamed around together looking for food, begging for assistance from a great distance because they weren't allowed inside of cities. And so they were yelling most of the time, yelling for food, yelling for handouts. And in this case, they were yelling for Jesus to heal and have mercy upon us. They were yelling at him from a distance. So if you can imagine, what would have it been like to be a leper, to be removed from your friends, from your family, for a lifetime, and to be forced to announce when you were diagnosed with leprosy, to be forced to announce the removal of yourself. And also, when you had leprosy, you were supposed to tell people that you had it so they wouldn't get near you. And so these 10 lepers were yelling, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And it's an interesting note. The Greek word for master, when these lepers were crying out, is not is not rabbi or it's not teacher. They weren't referring to Jesus as a teacher or rabbi, but it was the Greek word, and I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's E-P-I-S-T-A-T-A, which means the chief, the commander, the overseer, the one who has the power to heal, the one who has the power to heal their leprosy, to meet their needs. And the need here is not for instruction necessarily, but it's for healing. And by healing, they not only needed cleanse from their physical part, from their leprosy, but in the Jews' culture back then, if somebody had leprosy, it was connected to their sin in their life. And so they not only needed healing for their leprosy, but they also needed healing for the sin that was in their life. And Jesus was the only one that could do that. So they needed both cleansing physically and spiritually. So what did Jesus tell them? Did Jesus say, "Go away, you're healed"? No, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priests." Why would he say, "Go show yourself to the priests"? The priests were the ones that led out in worship. They led out in their gatherings. But from what I understand, what I've learned was the local priests also had other duties other than just leading in worship. Their other duties were to be a health official. And so Jesus told them to go to the priests, to the health officials, and show yourselves to them. And so if a person was miraculously healed of leprosy, it was up to the priest to inspect them to make sure that they were healed. It was up to the priest to test for the complete removal of the disease and to announce the person be healed and that they can go into society again. And so Jesus told them to go to the priests and show yourselves to the priests. If I stumble on my words, might be because I had an auctioneer ringing in my head all morning yesterday. But no, that's probably not why. But so these lepers, they turn and they start walking to the priest. Can you imagine, after Jesus told them that, they were like, "Well, why do we have to go to the priest? We're not even healed, so why do we even go?" So if you can just imagine yourself, picture it in your head, these lepers, you know, looking at each other, looking at the odd shapes of a guy missing a leg, looking at another guy missing an ear, having sores all over their bodies, and starting to head to the priest. And then as they start walking to the priest, if you can just imagine a guy that's missing a hand, his hand just reappears. A guy that's missing his leg, he almost trips because his leg comes back. And when they're walking back, when they were walking to the priest, healthy, whole, and complete again, their skin was cleared. Their new arms may have had tiny hairs growing back on them. The hands reappeared. I just can't imagine the joy that these guys must have experienced. And they probably even started yelling for joy. I mean, and they were happy. And I believe that they probably raced off believing that their nightmare was finally over. And then it says, one of them, when he had seen he was healed, he returned to Jesus with a loud voice, glorifying God, fell down on his face, giving him thanks. I don't know if you got that, but it says that with a loud voice he glorified God. It wasn't just a thank you, God, for this. He yelled. He was overjoyed with a loud voice. He wasn't shy about being or about giving God glory for healing him. He was not shy about it. He didn't care. And then in verse 17, Jesus asked, "Where are the other nine?" And we're going to talk about the other nine here in just a minute. But where were the other nine? Where, if you were one of the 10 lepers, would you have been part of the nine? Or would you have been part, or were you within the one that returned? And then it says, Jesus says, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." If you have the King James Version, it says, "Your faith has made you whole." And the Greek word for whole, and again, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it literally means that your faith has saved you. It not only healed you, but it has saved you. This one man's expression of his thanksgiving was an action of faith that gave him, you know, remember we talked about faith in action. This one man's expressing his thankfulness was an action of faith that gave him the assurance of salvation. Because he was willing to express his thankfulness, take the action, take the initiative to be thankful, it gave him the assurance of salvation. And I had to wonder, does that mean that the other nine were not saved? Does that mean that they didn't, they were not saved spiritually? And I don't know that the Bible even tells us. We'd have to assume, but it doesn't really say. But it made me wonder what happened to the other nine. What was going on inside of them that they didn't want to come back and say thank you? Why didn't they go back to Jesus as well as the other one, as the one? And the more I thought about it, the more I'm pretty sure that I would have fit in the category of the other nine. And it made me, what percentage of Wilmersdorf would have been part of the nine or would have been part of the one? Where would have you fit in? Why are we not thankful people? Why am I not a thankful person? Why as Christians do we fail to give thanks? Why do we fail to be a thankful people? What is the root cause of not being thankful? What causes us? What's inside of us that makes us not a thankful person? And in my studying and in my looking, I believe that I found four things that I believe are pretty accurate as to what the reason is why we're unthankful, why I'm unthankful. The sermon was really good for me to study and to understand why, maybe why I'm not as thankful as what I should be and take things for granted. But I believe the first one is forgetfulness. The first cause of ungratefulness, of unthankfulness, is forgetfulness. When things are well, we tend to easily forget. When things are going well, we tend to forget we forget to be thankful. We have our daily preoccupations. We have our daily routines that we get into. And when things go well, we just start taking things for granted. And I believe that that's a big one for me. I can get caught up in my own life, my own daily schedule, and just start taking a lot of things for granted. And I don't know which one of these causes was the other nine, the other nine that didn't come back. Maybe the next one it was. But the second one is entitlement. One of the causes of ungratefulness, unthankfulness, is entitlement. whatever we receive is because of grace. We think we deserve it. Whatever we receive is because of grace. People who believe that they deserve privileges, they deserve their positions, they deserve advantages over other people just because of grace, not because of something that they did. They value relationships with people that maybe give them stuff. They have friends that give them a lot of things, and that's why they're friends. If they stop giving them stuff, they wouldn't consider them friends anymore. So number one is forgetfulness. Number two is entitlement, the attitude of entitlement. Number three, I believe, is because of envy. People who suffer from envy walk through life painfully obsessed by the advantages enjoyed by others. We are obsessed with looking at other people and seeing what they have that I don't have. And it creates in us a strong desire that we need to have it. And I believe that these attitudes will eventually lead us to anger and unhappiness and jealousy. If we can't have what others have, I think that I deserve what others have. I compare my stuff with the things of someone else's that I know. And I believe that this is from unthankfulness. And the fourth one is expectation. I believe that we have unreasonable expectations. Can be a source of unthankfulness. Expectation is not bad in itself. When you go to work, you expect a paycheck, right? And your boss expects you to show up every day to work. So there are expectations that aren't being ungrateful, but it's the unrealistic expectations. It's not the correct expectations that is the problem. I expect others to just read my mind and that I don't even have to say anything. They should just be able to read my mind. Expecting others to drop everything that they're doing just to serve me. just to provide things for me. So forgetfulness, envy, entitlement, and expectation, I believe, are all dangerous conditions that usually will lead to unhealthy levels of anger, resentment, disappointment, unhappiness, unthankfulness, and death and depression. They are the opposites of thankfulness. And I had to think, which one of these did these other nine, these lepers, why didn't they come back and show their thankfulness? Why am I so so quick to forget to say thank you or to display my thankfulness? And again, thankfulness is not just saying thank you, but it's an action. We say that we're thankful for Christ and dying on the cross and we're thankful for his blood, but what in our lives is displaying that thankfulness? I hope that makes sense to you. That our thankfulness should result in actions. We should go back to our Savior and say thank you. Fall at his feet and with a loud voice say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. This week... And the following weeks, let's be a thankful people. Being that this is Thanksgiving week, I did read in the history of Thanksgiving, but I just didn't feel like you probably know where it came from, but it was two groups of people that got together and were thankful for the harvest that they received. But I didn't go into that too deeply, but I believe this week as Christians, let's be a thankful people and let's show it, let's display it in our lives. And most importantly, we as sinners have been miraculously healed, just like the lepers have been miraculously healed. We as sinners have been miraculously healed from our leprosies. And let's not forget to daily return to fall at Jesus' feet and loudly just thank Him for His forgiveness and for making us whole again. Let's not be like the other nine that forgot. Let's daily run to Jesus and thank Him for His healing, for His forgiveness of our sins. So with these thoughts, let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord.